forget the rain.
Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One. I am Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. God evening, beloveds. Tonight I want to continue in a theme that I began last week on the topic of Are You Connected? I spoke about the brotherhoods and the lineages of dissension for the peoplehood of light. Tonight I would like to speak about the secret scrolls that are hidden throughout the world that have come to light or in process of being revealed, and other wondrous things that pertain to our mission on Earth assignment. First of all, those of you that I would like particularly to direct these messages on this program to are often been referred to as the elect of the latter days, the Ami Shaddai, which is a Hebrew term that means peoplehood of God, people of light, the Zohar race, people of the covenant of light, the B'nai Or. We are those original consciousness programmers that came forward to seed consciousness here and colonize Earth as an outpost extension of the throne worlds within the 12th dimension of God. Yod He Vod He. And so, we are those who came in awakened and knowing, by and large. We've had a divine imprint upon our lives and a call of destiny that most of us have had filter through to our consciousness. In my case, from the time I was a little, very little child, I knew that I came on a mission to Earth to serve humanity and help them to reconnect with God. My words at that time were very primitive, but I was a very serious little child, very much about the work of my father. And many of you were too, and many of you are, those of you that are in young bodies. You may look around and wonder, why don't people get who I am? Why don't they get what this program is all about? Why are they going about as if life was just common, ordinary, same old, repetition of historical cycles? Well, it's because you are the new race. That is, the old race returned for a new day, a new dispensation. This is the Yom Or, the day of light, the day of Messiah, the day of the collective Messiah, the day of the sons of light who return once again and walk the earth. It is the externalization of the hierarchy. It is the return of the celestial and planetary lords of light. Oh, there's so many different languagings of this same topic. But let's look at it in a little bit more detail. First of all, there are three types of souls. These three types of souls, first one, of course, is the one I just referred to, the elect of the latter days. These are the awakened knowers. Then you have the souls that have partaken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They have entered into the shadow side of life and the light side of life and have played both roles in time and space in the lower heavens. Those souls now are awakening and are presented with choice. They are in what's called the valley of decision. Who will you serve, the Lord of Light or the Lord of Darkness? It's your choice. Then you have the largely unawakened masses, who are functioning basically unconscious. They are asleep. They are the ones that we minister to, those of the elect of the latter days, those who are awakening in the that have partaken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the awakening ones. And, of course, there are many, many subdivisions within all of these. Nothing is really very cut and dry here. But just to give you an overview of why certain souls are so very much asleep, and certain souls are so very invested in polarization and duality and duking it out with the bad guys that they seem to be able to find quite easily. I suppose you'll find anything you look for hard enough. Anyway, I personally prefer to see the Son of God. I like to look at a person and see the radiant face of the Christ or the Buddha or the Krishna or whoever you want to refer to as the preeminent Lord of Light. Because when we say the Christ, we're talking about the anointing, the spiritual anointing, the spiritual kiss of God's grace through a human form as it absolutely manifests in magnificence. These are the superheroes of life. We all want to be a hero. We all want to do something wonderful. It's, I believe, absolutely embedded in each of our hearts that we are destined for greatness. And I love what it says in the Keys of Enoch when it says, Dr. Hertak is quoted as saying, we are doomed to perfection. I love that. I just, it's kind of a mixed metaphor there, but it's like every single person on the planet is not going to leave this planet less than a radiant, ascended, resurrected Lord of Light. Why? Because superluminal grace has decreed it to be so. That's just the way it is. We have been esoterically and figuratively and literally saved through grace. And that has nothing to do with our works. It is just simply a God thing. So let's get the hero out. Let's get the Christ out of the closet. Let's get that magnificence out into the world and begin to walk it out and to display it like a peacock, if you will, the glory of the living God that inhabits you as the living spirit that indwells you. Humankind is now called to go beyond the parameters of limited consciousness. Whatever has locked us into a sense of defining ourselves in terms of lack and limitation is being reworked, re-scripted, re-articulated into our lives so that we can begin to have a new vision for ourselves, our world, our planet, and our cosmic destiny. We're the cosmic people, no matter whether you're an indigenous root race person who has been evolving through the previous root races and cycles on planet Earth, or you're a recent person who has just walked in or overlaid an existing soul aspect, or whether you stepped through the dimensions and have appeared in, or whether you've just been born and are growing up a physical body. Every single one of you is here to partake of this awesome transfiguration of a race that is in the completion of a massive program, which is embraced of absolutely multi-millenniums of unfoldment. Some of us come in so new, so calibrated for the new, that really we can't find any docking place to park the spaceship of our consciousness within the existing world system. We look at it with somewhat dismay and disgust and horror in some cases, but hang in there, because what's happening on the surface is not really what's going on. You always have to look behind what the appearance is. For example, the Titanic, this massive unsinkable ship, they made this marvelous movie that many of us saw many times over, was sunk by something that was under the water that you couldn't even barely see on the surface. And life is like that. The surface, what you can see on the surface, is the smallest fraction of a 10% level of a 90% cosmic, multidimensional identity that we share and co-share with angels, archangels, lords of light, masters, hierarchies, lineages, and orders that go multidimensionally throughout the omniverses. Get a grip on that. Begin to really realize that here we are veiled, and for a very good purpose, because we have to get down to the nitty-gritty of spiritual regeneration and transfiguration, right down into the deepest DNA of the imprinting of the trapped limited consciousness we call the 666, or limited densification, the most compacted densification of light, which is the carbon-based molecule. We all know that through the time and the pressure upon that carbon, eventually and ultimately a crystal and ultimately a diamond will emerge. And in an exact analogy, the pressure of time and space and condensation and living life and going through whatever it is we go through produces the diamond consciousness that now, believe it or not, has come to the surface and is ready now to make the great exodus across this spectrum of limitation, breaking the barriers and entering into a superluminal, omni-universal placement in the cosmos. And I'm speaking about our planet Earth. So when we speak of ascension, it is descension and ascension concomitantly. The same exact instant, we are descending the higher programs of light, which are integrating and infusing us and remapping and re-strategizing and re-scripting our interpretation of reality. And at the same time, the Earth itself is being reset energetically in a new aspect of her subtle bodies into a newly prepared birth in the heavenlies, in the celestial realms. Will we still be physical human beings? Oh, you bet. But we will be remade, refashioned into the immortalized Adam Kadmon, the bodies of light that are physical, they're dense physical, etheric physical, which it's a densified light body, but they're in the original ordering, which was without death, without aging, without disease. Isn't that good news? I really believe that we are in a time when we're going to see that our vibrations transcend the spectrum of disease entirely. I mean, already, many of us that are able to stay integrated and centered, we don't get flu, we don't get colds, we rarely get sick. We might have aches and pains because the grids now really are causing a lot of what's called spiritual tension within the inner fibers of light that hold together the atoms and the molecules and the electrons of our subtle bodies, which impacts the physical. There's a certain motor burn, if you will, as an analogy, when electrons of a higher vibration begin to interface and speak to, as it were, the atoms of the dense physical envelope of our bodies. And that produces a certain tiredness that many, many of you people of light are experiencing right now. And also, many of us are being called to do more work on the subtle levels than we are in the physical, so it means we're sleepy a lot. This is all part of the mission. It's also part of that iceberg in the sense that the greater portion of your service and work right now is upon interdimensional realms that are largely veiled and unconscious, sort of unconscious in the sense that they're in the etheric levels of life, which are unconscious. The etheric realm has often been called the great the void. It's that place that sometimes you feel like you're falling when you come back into your body. You feel like you're falling in black space. That's the etheric realm. And it's the band from the superluminal light worlds of the soul and beyond in the fifth dimension, the fifth world, Satchkhan, the realm of truth. Just before you come into that level, you will go through the etheric void, which is why there's usually a place where you fall asleep when you're meditating or you go unconscious or when you're re-entering your body or leaving your body. There's usually that zone of darkness or unconsciousness. Some people are able to bridge that, but in the majority, there is a period of lapse of conscious awareness. And so, therefore, many of our experiences are in that level and in the portion of the brain that relates to that level, and that would be the theta and delta, and even sometimes the highest portion of the alpha range of brainwave oscillation. You will have that just almost in a sleep. There's definitely no cognitive appraisal going on of data at that level. You're just simply in the self. Sometimes it's referred to as various levels of samadhi. But laying that aside, we are working 24/7. There is never a time when the forces of light are not in service to the light and to the evolution and unfoldment of consciousness on this planet at all times. Whenever there's a disaster, whenever there's a great exit of souls from the planet, we flock there to hold the light, to guide people who've just left their bodies, who find themselves suddenly in an astral body or mental body or one of the other vehicles, and they're lost. They don't know Many of them have never studied anything that would give them any kind of a mental concept of an afterlife. Many don't even believe in an afterlife. Many have not even given a thought to an afterlife. So whatever you have been able to cognize at this level is what you will, or not, is what you will import, of course, into the next levels. So we are diligently working with these beloved ones. Now, in this trans-dimensional relocating that we often call the ascension, some people like to think of it as being raptured or caught up to be with Christ or beamed aboard one of the ships of light. Ashtar said many years ago that about a year ago, he told me that the majority of human beings will need to be in suspended animation, boarded in sleep state, and then gently awakened with pretty much their accustomed reality intact until they can be gently reintroduced into their new environment and reacclimated to it. Now, this would be lots of people, even awakened light workers. Sometimes we find it very, very daunting to move to a new location or to enter a new environment or to have to stand and speak and introduce ourselves before a group of strangers. How much more daunting will it be to move into a new earth that doesn't have any of the familiar referencing points of duality? As strange as it may seem, we have been socialized and conditioned to understand things in this dimension by their opposites. So when you go to a realm in which there are no opposites, there is only that which is living love, living light, pure truth, absolute beingness, open-ended creative potential and possibilities, and that omniversal and that multidimensional, my heavens, there's some adjustment ahead for all of us, isn't there? So right now we're pushing the envelope on every single level and being pushed to go beyond the envelope, wherever we have circumscribed our sense of reality and self-definition. We are being stretched beyond anything you can imagine, so that indeed we can enter as a little innocent child into the kingdom of heaven. The innocent consciousness that we more and more, I think, are coming into is the fact that we don't know very much. At this level, we're like little kids. We really don't have a clear grasp of what we're moving into at all. And even those of us who are experts at transitioning worlds, I guess you could say the Ashtar Command and its major commanders are certainly experts at planetary harvesting, seeding, and relocating, and graduating, and ascending, and all of that. But those of us who are down here working through a limited human body and through a third-dimensionally conditioned brain find it also very difficult. So the humility that recognizes, you know what, I really see through a glass darkly right now. I don't see things as they are. I'm looking through a thick veil, and I had better just realize that there's an awful lot that is going to be unfolded in my awareness, and I'm going to have to be able to roll with the punches and be able to stretch and embrace a very new, very different realities that maybe I haven't even given a thought to or consideration of. Often in my work, especially on in my counseling practice and with people that I work with, often people will email me with what I can tell behind their question is that they're searching for an ultimate answer. They want an ultimate truth box that everything will fit neatly in so that they can know that they're in the truth, that that's it. Yeah. This truth is in here, and it's safe, and I can get in that box, and then I won't have to look or study or expand anymore. I'll be safe. I'll be just be in this little truth box. And there, at this level, beloveds, there are no absolutes. For one thing, the human brain cannot cognize absolutes. I believe that's one of the reasons why Elohim Jehovah gave us the Ten Commandments originally, and Jesus gave us the Two Commandments. for the simple reason that we really needed a clear definition of what to do down here, that sort of gave us enough of a tracking device. And, you know, earlier than that, there were the codes of Manu and all these different things throughout time. There's been like a codex of appropriate protocols for acting in the human world. But now you see there is, again, the extension of deeper and deeper understandings of everything. And even the most safe truth box that we have been kind of sitting in comfortably is getting upturned. And all of a sudden we find we're on the first page of the first day of the rest of our lives, reading a whole new scripture, a whole new life plan, a whole new understanding of what everything's all about. And hang on there, because we're in the time of massive revelation. This is what the apocalypse means. This is what Armageddon means. It means the great uncovering, the great revealing. And you see, in ancient times, a small family of masters basically initiated a seed program here on Earth. We wanted to create a species of people who would basically be able to be Earth angels, to put it very simply. We wanted to transpose higher dimensional celestial operation through a human vehicle so that the glory of the living God could be brought down into a carbon-based body, which is awesome when you stop to think about it. We have the smallest amount of spirit at this level in the third dimension, and the plan was to bring a Christ consciousness to inhabit this clay vessel and to transfigure and transform it along with all of the elements of which it's composed into superluminal divine Ein Sof, limitless light, which is called the movement into the infinite way. Ah, it was awesome. And you know what? The plan has been successful. This same family of masters also started the mystery schools and the program of initiation, which is basically sequential light infusion until eventually you transcend completely the limitations of the gross base physical matter and transfigure into full light being. So those initiates and those who are of the elect of the latter days have activated light bodies, which shows as a flame of fire over people's heads. And I know I can see that very clearly. If I look clairvoyantly at a person, I can see what looks to me very often like a purple flame coming up out of the top of their head. And this, of course, appeared over the heads of the 120 people in the upper room at the time of the Pentecost, when the 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus the Christ, when he sent the Holy Spirit to activate fully those light bodies and those apostles so that they would be his emissaries and his messengers to the farthest corners of the earth. And then they were quickened and empowered by the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, who came to indwell them as the living arks of the covenant. So now, of course, that has spread and activated and cross-pollinated and decoded until all of us who have been willing to step into that heritage can partake of and be walking in that divine state, that spirit-filled, quickened, light-body state. And certainly those of you who have stayed with me long enough to listen to this show are in that category. Otherwise, you would have been long gone. So this is the activation that's taking place collectively now. You know, the doors are open, and anyone can come to the wedding feast that wants to. So no holes are barred. The light is just everywhere. The spirit is pouring out on people everywhere. People are exponentially waking up, choosing into the light, stepping forward into mastery, activating and decoding magnificent missions. And truly, they constitute the heroes of these times. So I encourage us all to do that. One of the things that's interesting is that the peoplehood of God are non-localized. In other words, we are spread. I like to use the analogy, we're spread like yeast. throughout the loaf of humanity. We've been kneaded into the full fabric of humanity so that that loaf can rise. And in this sense, the Amishadai, the spiritual Israel, is spread throughout the earth. They're the remnant people of light that are found throughout the world. They are localized by, or let's say, recognized by their consciousness of goodwill and love for all humankind, their tolerance and breadth of consciousness, and their kindly natures. You can see in them the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the love and the peace and the joy and the humility and faith and patience and self-control and kindliness, humility. All of these qualities you can see in these beloved remnant people. It seems to be their nature. Not that you don't have an occasional bad day here and there, but to quote Sai Baba, nothing comes between him and his smile. And nothing should come between us and our smile either, because we are the ambassadors and the purveyors of great good news to all of mankind. The spiritual Israel also functions or is in process of rearticulating the Yod spectrum function. The Yod, Y-O-D, spectrum refers to 10 original radiations of soul manifestation, which was originally personified and typified by the 10 lost tribes of ancient Israel. This lost spectrum of light is the short-circuiting that has inhibited our awareness and being circumscribed in limited light, gravitationally trapped on a singular planet with a singular identity, when in truth we were designed to be full spectrum, Ein Sof, multidimensional, whole light beings, able to operate on the full electromagnetic spectrum and even transcending it into those quantums that go beyond our visual and cognitive spectrum currently. Everything, for example, in the scriptures, I'm going to look at the Bible right now, is foretold in the scriptures, often in parables. And the parable of the 10 virgins, five who were prepared, they had oil in their lamps, they were getting ready to go in to receive the bridegroom when he arrived. They were ready. And five that were unprepared, that had no oil in their lamps, and they said, oh, please give us some of this oil. And the five wise virgins said, no, you've had plenty of time to get the oil, and if you haven't gotten it, then we are certainly not going to give you our oil, because, you know, you need to do that for yourself. The oil refers to the full light spectrum, which would enable us to be truly anointed, truly empowered by the Spirit of the living God. This would be the quickening of the Shekinah, the presence within, the activation of the baptism of fire, of the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Holiness, that enables a person to have an incredible spiritual boldness to proclaim the glory of God, the truths of God, the teachings of God. They're the messengers, the flaming ministers of God that go forth and spread and serve the message of the living God. And so without that oil, you have a certain inhibition and timidity and circumscription of one's light field, and you just don't have that anointing. You don't have that power. You're operating in the human levels of personality and ego, and you don't have the juice to really back what you're doing. And a lot of people find themselves in that state today. There's lots of foolish virgins, and they have spent their time watching soap operas and reading romantic novels, and they really haven't been building in the light body, the Christ body of light, that would enable them to walk the earth now as a true Lord of light and live a super heroic life in these times. And I suppose it's never too late to begin the journey. The grace of God can cover a multitude of errors. Thank God it can and does. But my gosh, it's late in the day to begin to enter into a conscious light of spiritual accountability and awareness if you haven't even made the first step. So I doubt if anyone of that nature is actually listening to this radio program. But this is the thing to be prepared to be aware of, that we need to gain that awareness of who we are as a divine being. What is your function? What is your divine imprint? If you don't know your purpose and your divine imprint, who in the world is going to? You've got to know who you are, and you've got to walk in the truth of your being, and not reference your life constantly to what other people are saying and doing and teaching and the books they're writing. What about the book and the Holy Scripture of your own inner tapestry of light? Have you ever read it? Have you ever opened it? If not, sit down, get serious with yourself and with God, and begin to read the sacred scriptures of your innermost being. Metaphorically speaking, the bride of Christ is humanity that is now being prepared. And the bridegroom, of course, is the divine Adam Kadmon that we're being caught up into, the divine program of light now that we are being embraced into. And it is upon us. In fact, I personally believe, and I'm going out on a limb here, but I personally believe that we are... we're right at that place of going into a massive gravitationally released light field. I don't even know if I have a word to describe it. I've seen it. I think that in the outer world, there's going to be quite a bit of upheaval. But in the midst of the upheaval, I believe we're going to see several things happen at the same time. One of them will be force fields of light that begin to define certain areas as protected. The tornado will go around that area. The fire will stop at that boundary line. The disease will not come nigh into your particular home or area or body. Those of us who have been marked, our homes have been marked, the doorposts and lintels with the blood of the Lamb, which is the crystalline Christ pyramidal encodements in our blood crystals. They're actually been transformed into the image of the Son of God, internally and externally. There is a different outpicturing of the choices that our life have placed us in right now. And when that happens, the spirit of death, or the spirit of destruction, or whatever you want to call that spirit of this age that seems hell-bent on destroying and killing and all those things, will pass over the peoplehood of God, and we will not be touched. The Keys of Enoch by Dr. J.J. Hertak has maps in it that define the areas marked by the Brotherhood and the grid coordinates where certain protective fields of light will be coming up. As we go into the null zone, as our Earth begins to tilt, which it's already doing on its axis, as we have a new polar alignment, and as the old shell of the Earth spins off and we are reset in the heavens, I personally believe that that hour is upon us. I may be way off, but I have to speak what I know within my own being, and you know, if it's true, fine. If it's not, then I'm wrong. But in case I am right, we're in for an exciting, very exciting entrance into the first day of the rest of our cosmic lives. So hang ten, folks. Here we go. Apparently, we are in what our brother Greg Braden has described as zero point, which is the lowest ebb of the electromagnetic field where all the memory is stored. If you wonder where your memories have gone, maybe they're part of that old cycle that you'll be leaving behind. The Course in Miracles said that only the love and that we have given and received and the happy thoughts will we take into the kingdom of heaven. And I think that's probably a very good description of what we will be taking in terms of our luggage into this new world. Will be goodness, grace, light, celebration, and the Bible refers to it as the wedding feast of the divine bridegroom and the bride. So, hey, that works for me. Anyway, so much for that. What do I want to say to you? There's so much I want to say to you. One thing I might want to ask you is, where do you see yourself right now in your own life? Have you taken a recent inventory? Where do you want to go? Have you ever really defined where your life is destined to go? Are the means that you have employed placed you in that place? Are they getting you where you want to go? Where have they led you? Are they working? Is it time to let them go and move to something that might be more effective for you at this time? What are the tools that you're using? I'm meaning spiritual tools. And so look at where you are now. And if you're not living in the peace and love and joy of God, perhaps there's another choice that could be made. If you're caught up in the karma dramas, he said, she said, they said, she did, he did, they did, what's happening in the government, what's happening here, what's happening there, they should do this, they should do that. You know, all of the kerfluffle that goes on in the mental realms of debate and dispute and discord and all of that stuff, that's all so much chaff in the wind that is going to soon be blown away as God totally ruins our system of doing things. He's going to ruin our agendas. He will ruin our churches and ruin our science laboratories and ruin our business and our stock markets and everything we have placed our value on but the eternal. He's going to mess it all up real good so that we'll only be left with ourselves and the choices and actions that we have placed out into the cosmic ethers, which then return to either bless or curse us, depending on what we have sent forth. So now is the time when the chickens are coming home to roost. Many of us are watching the outplay on the physical plane of old karmic enmities, people who have been duking it out for many historical periods in one form or another, or once again added ancient feuds, all of this stuff. Hey, if it's not your business, then send the light and stay out of it. Don't add to the kerfuffle with what you think might be your judgment of what should happen. If you're not appointed in a position to do anything positive about it or effectively to legislate something different, then don't add to the melee. That would be a very, very good use of your energy to just stay centered in the love and peace of God and send the light for the highest good of all concerned, and don't put more energy on it. When we, as the Lords of Light, came to this planet and wished to create and reestablish the Adam Kadmon and the Divine Throne World protocols here, there were many, many times similar to the one that we're in now at the change of a root race and an age when there was a polar shift and or some other calamity that removed people from the surface of the earth or caused them to go off planet in ships of light, underground into the Agartha community, or what would be the other? The third thing would be hiding their 14-foot bodies, in many cases they were that tall, in caves and caverns, and park them there in suspended animation or sacred repose until it was time to reanimate them. Well, some of us have bodies parked in South America or under the Great Pyramid of Giza or in other places on the planet, Mato Grosso. I saw my 14-foot-high Adam Kadmon, beautiful body, aboard Ashtar's ship. Go find yours. It'll be there somewhere. If you have one and you have a right to see it, if it's your body, you have a right to make it okay with yourself to give yourself permission to look into those levels and see if that be so for you. Because as I understand it, there will be a choice to redon those bodies if we wish to reappropriate them, reanimate them, and to utilize them. I suppose it's like any other outfit that you might put on. If it serves the occasion, put it on. my friend Sharula from Telos described a body I have in Mata Grasso about 20 years ago. She said that gradually I would be putting it on and you select the molecules from that body and begin to integrate them into your present body until there's a complete exchange and or complete, let's say, overlay of the other body. So this sounds like a high weirdness, but hey, they just found, I understand, some time back, the body of Osiris under the Great Pyramid of Giza. Of course, it was hushed up, but they found him. I was living with Sharula at the time, and she said, oh, yeah, she said there's quite a few of the Brotherhood have their bodies, you know, in sacred repose, and they shouldn't disturb them, you know, if they're sleeping like that. So there are things like that occurring. This, they found a huge, I think a 36-foot-high being, skeleton of a being in India, one of the Kauravas from the Kurukshetra battle of Krishna and Arjuna. Amazing. I mean, a human being standing near the skull looked like a little ant. So there are some really awesome things coming to light now. When we left the planet, as we did most recently with the Atlantean submergence, some of us went underground, but we also took care to, and some of us went off planet too, but most of us took care to take the teachings and sequester them away where they could be preserved for posterity. Some of these teachings have been found, and some of them haven't been found, but will be found shortly. Some of the ones that we're familiar with are the Dead Sea Scrolls of Qumran, the scrolls in Alexandria, some in Tibet. For example, in Tibet, there was even a scroll that Nicholas Notovitch and Nicholas Rurik claimed to have seen in one of the monasteries there that told about the life of Saint Esau, which was clearly Jesus when he was traveling throughout the Orient and India. And he has a whole lineage of yogis that are still in existence in the Himalayas, that he is supposedly is the guru and head of that lineage. There's so much coming to light now. The Nag Hammadi scripts in Egypt, the Zion Scrolls that Joseph Smith found in upstate New York from the Angel Moroni and the Great Salt Lake area of the USA where New Zion was anchored. And then you have sacred things hidden in Montana, here in California, in India, in China. Oh, they're all over South America. And gradually these will come to light, and they just simply prove the existence of a brotherhood of light that has always, always planted and harvested seed programs in this biological testing zone that we call planet Earth. The time that we're in now calls for a complete relinquishing of what we thought we knew and a complete humble embracement of the miraculous, the things that we really haven't thought were possible. What if they were? What if the legends of mythology really weren't legends at all, but were the accountings of great beings that came from the stars, like, for example, the Grecian mythology, so-called, of the gods and goddesses, or part man and part god, that came from the heavens, the solar teachings of the lords of the sun that came. Every single tradition has these legends and stories. What if they were all true? What if this lineage of great heroes or avatars has always been in existence? Well, as far as my studies and scholarship have been concerned, and as far as I have understood the things that Sai Baba has shared with us, that's exactly the way it is. It's true. And I am so bold as to suggest that those are some of our histories, too. Think about it. Maybe you were Zeus or Hera or Atlas or whoever. I'm not up on my Greek mythology here, but my name disregarding the fact I'm named Athena, I fell asleep in all that stuff when I was in college, so I don't bother my head with it. But the fact remains that where there's a myth, there's usually going to be some truth somewhere lurking in those environments. You know, where there's smoke, there's got to have been some fire. So anyway, we're being reset as a species and as a planet into a new heavens, in outpicturing in a new world, a new Earth, a new version of our planet Earth. And the things that are coming to light right now are just part of the upheaval, the supplanting of old soil. It's the turning over of the soil, just like when you want to put in some new seeds. You got to turn up that soil. You got to turn it over. You got to do some crop rotation. You know, the lands that have been above the surface need to go under the water and rest for a while, and the lands that have been under the water need to come up again and resurface. And I know my teacher, John Roger, has always said that we will not be on the planet physically when the Earth, you know, when that sort of thing happens, when there's a polar shift and when the, you know, for years, psychics have said California is falling into the ocean. Well, I've lived here for years through most of those predictions, and we're still here, and I know that we will still be here as long as we need to be, and then when we're lifted up into the next dimensional overlay, then these things most likely will take place, because that's just the nature of things. That's the way things go through. Everything has its birth, its time of maturation, its time of exaltation, its decline, and its death. Everything in the lower worlds beneath soul goes through this cycle, whether you're a sun or a planet or a human being or whatever. And the many, many species, for example, that are becoming extinct, don't worry about it. Many of them are taking on better body forms, newly designed body forms that will be in the new Earth, and they'll still be there because energy never dies. Once something is created, it never ceases to be. The form can be remodulated into a different version, but the essential spirit, the essential life wave, never ceases. Life is eternal because life is God. So therefore, don't worry about things like that. Our beloved redwood trees that came from originally from my home world of Venus, they will be with us in the new world. Everything that we love and cherish that's truly, truly something that's been precious to us will be there. Why? Because God knows what we like. And He has made provision for all good things to thrill us and to give us delight into the new world that we're going. Oh, I just wish that I could share sometimes all of the things that Sai Baba has shared in the many, many interviews that I've had with him and the many talks and, so many wonderful things. Two stories I'll tell you. These are stories, bear in mind, I did not hear them personally directly from the people involved, but they came through what you might call the grapevine of of information that spreads and swirls around the devotees of Sai Baba. But I heard it tell that Sai Baba had taken his group of college boys to the Bandipur Forest? I'm not sure which forest it was. It might have been the Bandipur Forest in India. I'm not sure about that. But anyway, he took them out on a field trip to the forest. And supposedly, as the story goes, he had the boys dig under this big tree. And they dug and dug and dug until they came to, obviously, what was a top knot on top of the head of a yogi that was in suspended animation. And Sai Baba awakened him. And I don't know, that's the end of the story. I don't know what he did after he awakened him. But you hear a lot of unusual stories like that because Sai Baba is probably the most unusual avatar that we've ever been a contemporary with at any time. I know he is an avatar that for the very first time in the history of avatars that he can be known and recognized in that capacity while he is still alive. And those of us that are contemporaries of this great manifestation of God are very, very fortunate. Sai Baba said that, you cannot imagine the good merit and karma that you have to be born on earth at this time. That we are more fortunate than the gopis who are around Krishna, more fortunate than the apostles that were around Jesus Christ, more fortunate than the bhikshus that were around, and Ananda, who was around Lord Buddha. We are more fortunate than any of the previous groups of people. And, you know, in my experience, many of us were in those earlier groups, too. Bear in mind, we probably have come with the Lord every time he's taken embodiment. But be that as it may, at least we're here now as a family of light with the Lord Sri Satya Sai Baba, who is a Trikaya. He's coming in three forms. He came as Shirdi Sai Baba at the turn of the century. He is present with us as Satya Sai Baba, and he will be with us into way into the 21st century and on, I suppose. I don't know how long he'll live in that life, as Prema Sai Baba. So in the first incarnation as Shirdi Baba, he represented the energy of the Father universe, the fatherhood of God. This present incarnation as Satya Sai Baba, he is embodying the father-motherhood of God and the brother-sisterhood of mankind. And in the next manifestation, he will be embodying the Shekinah, or Shekinah, Holy Spirit manifestation of the Divine Mother. Even though his physical body will be in the male gender, the quality of energy going through him will be that of the Divine Mother. So, again, we are living in a time that is very, very unique on this planet. I speak about these things because I have direct experience of them, and they're part of my life. They're part of what I have lived for the last 40 years. And I feel I would not be doing you justice if I didn't share from the great wealth of experience and blessedness that I have been very, very blessed and fortunate to receive in this lifetime. The times are such that it's time for big and bodacious and outrageous choices to be made. Go for whatever it is that is your heart's call, your heart's embracement. Know that whatever you want, that the universe will make room for you when your time has come. If you need money, it will come to you. If you need guidance, it will come to you along the way as you walk your destiny out. The guidance will be there to meet you at each step of indecision and questioning. You will have enough light, enough wisdom, enough money, enough substance for each day's unfoldment. Not enough to store up, because as the ancient Israelites were provided for by God, they were given water to drink out of the rocks. They were given manna from heaven to eat. But they were instructed not to keep any of it overnight, except for the Sabbath. They were allowed to gather enough manna to feed themselves on their Sabbath. But other than that, they were to consume all their food and each day. Give us this day our daily bread, as the Lord's Prayer speaks it forth. So we need to learn to trust that the needs of the day are met as we walk the path of light and love and sound of the Beloved. We truly, when we're about the Father's work, he will see that we are provided for. I speak that right out of my direct experience of several decades, and I often say I haven't had a job for 20 years, and I don't have time for one. I am too busy working for the Father, and you can be too. It's just a choice. It's a choice I made. It was my time. It was my call. It was my destiny. So check and see if maybe your life is squeezing you because it's ready to extrude you and spit you out of where you've been as being too small, and there's a big call in your life waiting for you to have the courage to walk into it. Remember, you don't walk alone. There's nothing we can do of our own steam. In the scriptures, we're taught by Jesus to not plan what we're going to say before we have to say it. Don't give thought to what you need. Don't worry about the things of the world. God knows what you need. God has made provision through every single kingdom of nature for it to be fed and protected and cared for. It's built into the species. And mankind alone is the only one that worries about that. The other animals, not that we're an animal, but we are inhabiting an evolved animal form, even though we, as spirits of the living God, are certainly not animals and certainly not derived from the animal kingdom. I want to make that clear. But what I want to say is that everything is provided for in nature. And certainly we are, who are made in the image and likeness of God, in fact, are God's own incarnations. Do you think God is not going to take care of itself? Him, her, itself? I don't think so. I think that is built in as well. But we need to be about the work of the Father. And we need to be healthy spiritually, which means whole, light beings. No leaks. So find out where your leaks are. Close them up with the whole light of your own divine presence. Spend time with the beloved. Fill your cup to the brim with the love and the grace and the nectar and the anointed oil that will let you know that you've turned on your lights and that oil of anointing is flowing over your head and over your life, and it's spilling out and getting all over everybody. Because the anointing spreads, the light spreads, love spreads. These things are very, very contagious. So let's be divinely contagious with the glory of God, the love of God, the wisdom of God, the truth of God, and let our light so shine before man that they will glorify our Father, Mother in heaven, and will remember and activate and decode who they are. Our lives and our example is the best teaching mechanism that we can bring to this earth, and it's perhaps the only one that really counts, because if you haven't lived it, you can't teach it. And if you haven't lived it, you have no business trying to teach it, because the true teacher of these times is one who teaches from direct experience and embodies the teaching that they wish to convey. So having said all that, the Ashtar Galactic Command joins with me with the greatest, greatest ring forth of light and love and blessing to every one of our ground fleets, all of you beloved people who are the peoplehood of God, the elect of the Word, the covenant people, the Ami Shaddai, the elect of the Word. Blessings and grace to each one of you. We've got a few minutes. Okay, rise up into your light bodies, form a circle around the planet Earth, put your palms out towards the Earth, and allow the superluminal light from the divine programs of light to flow through your instrument, through your hands. Yeah, it feels good. You'll feel your palms tingle. And just intend in your consciousness to be an emissary of light, sourcing light, channeling light, unlimited, unconditioned light for the highest good to this planet and every man, woman, child, and species upon it, in the name of the Most High. We'll go out chanting El El Elyon. El El Elyon. El El Elyon. That means the Most High, by the way. It's one of the names of God. It's actually El Elyon. But I like to chant it the way I'm doing it. So join me. El, El, Elyon. El, El, Elyon. El, El, Elyon. El, El, Elyon. Hugh. Remember, beloveds, you are the light of this world. You are the image of the Father. And we are made to put on Christ as little Christs. God bless you, and we love you. Have a peaceful week ahead. See you next week, God willing. Adonai.